This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
So I will admit, because we're talking about the Browns, we're talking about the we're talking about the noise coming out of Berea today, but the noise coming from my phone, I felt like such an old man in that break. Meredith is trying to do her 2020s, and I had turned up the sound of my phone to play you a Metallica song in the break, and I forgot about it, so I opened up TikTok to pass some time, and blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, I can't do that. So then I went to Facebook, clicked on stories, and somebody immediately had sound in. Guys, I felt 157 because I forgot how to turn the sound off of my freaking phone for 30 seconds.
That's what shows you that social media is not a good take by any means, especially when you're on the radio.
It's so funny, man. Like, I don't know when I became the old man. I don't know when, like, I remember giving my mom endless crap. She still calls every gaming system an Atari. I'm like 3 minutes from that if I can't figure out if I can't remember to turn off the sound of my phone like an old man.
That's a good gaming system, though, Atari. It brings back some good days.
Good is, okay, it was fun when it was there.
Oh, no, we'll go from Atari, Nintendo. Original Nintendo is by far the best.
Now you're speaking my language there. Yes. So one of the things, you know, we played Deshaun's comments on Akins being the decoy yesterday, in which part of it he says, well, the fans aren't in the room. And then we played Ken Dorsey, where he's like, I'm not going to comment on plays, but it's on the player to trust his talent, his instincts, and get it done. Basically, inferring that either Deshaun was, you know, wrong, that Akins wasn't the decoy, or that, hey, it doesn't matter what it was, Deshaun didn't get the job done. That is very old Brownsian and concerning to happen this early in the season.
Well, when you're looking at it this early in the season, yes, very disconcerting, because you have your OC and Ken Dorsey not trying to elaborate, of course, right? I mean, he's saying, hey, I'm not going to elaborate on anything. But if you read between the lines, it's our player, who is supposed to be a star-studded player, you know, taking the snap, didn't execute. Didn't read down, didn't see an open receiver because he was a decoy. I look at this right now and I'm like, man, that could change the outcome of a game, of course. And if you look at it right now, going 1-2, you're going on the road against the Raiders. You go 1-3, we talked about it yesterday. You go 1-3, it's a tough uphill climb moving forward.
Yeah, the key to this Raiders game is it's just like the Jacksonville game. Just stop the bleeding. Just stop, because this is the reaction 1 week in. It's only gonna get louder, man. Right? Like, fans are only gonna get more frustrated, and they're gonna be looking for things to get mad about if you don't put things perfectly. And honestly, that's just not Deshaun's forte. Like, he's clearly not comfortable speaking to the media, and I'm gonna go ahead and say a lot of that ties back to everything he kind of went through. But we seem to vacillate between he tries to, like, be relatable, and then he says something. This is where he's in a no-win situation. He tries to be relatable, but he says one wrong thing, and that's what people focus on and get him criticism for. He says nothing or tries to be real about it, and, well, then he said the wrong thing. You know, like, there's a part of this, like, there is a part of me that feels empathetic, because that guy could come out and just say, man, I love Cleveland and I love being here and I can't wait to win a Super Bowl. And people are like, oh, you're going to win a Super Bowl? You really got to do that? You do that here? Like, it's just, there is a level of vitriol. But, you know, when we're talking about this, Real Xavier P., who's one of our Our big interactors on social media there, sending into at Nick Wilson says, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, saying, I don't think our DMs or mentions are even close to Cleveland athletes, especially when things are not going well, especially when the media seems to have personal animosity towards some. We can ignore people. They have to deal with them. I'm not saying that you have to ignore it. It's impossible to. They're humans. I totally get that they're humans. But you don't have to engage it. And when it comes to clapping back, that's a no-win situation. Because the fastest way you can get run out of town is by warring with, not the media necessarily, although it certainly didn't help Baker Mayfield, but warring with fans. You know, like, yeah, they're booing you, but they're also going to cheer you when you do well. Don't put that at odds just because it's super frustrating. I'm empathetic to you, but like, understand this. And Amari Cooper today was being talking with the media, and we're just going to play this, and you're going to hear where Amari's criticism goes.
I mean, it's football at the end of the day. You know, some plays you're going to make, some plays you aren't going to make. I assume that's what they're getting at. Just like anybody else who has a job. Some of y'all don't ask the best questions, but hey, you don't hear me criticizing. So, yeah, I think it's just the nature of the business. I mean, obviously we get scrutinized more than you guys do. So, I mean, I think maybe, you know, maybe y'all should start asking questions in front of the camera so they can see y'all's faces. But yeah, I just think that's just how it goes. You know, they see everything we do. We're under a microscope, so we're going to get scrutinized more and for mistakes that everybody makes. So.
Does this sound like a 1-2 team to you?
No. I mean, this is bad. I mean, they're focusing so much on the negativity side of it because they are 1-2 instead of focusing on what they have to do at hand, and that's compete against the Raiders this upcoming weekend. It's the media's job to ask questions. That's our job, is to ask you questions about how you played last weekend. And if you don't play good or up to standard or up to your par, it's not about the fans anymore. It's about you didn't play to your caliber. You guys are high caliber players. You're athletes that nobody else is good enough to be. You're in the NFL. Play like you're in the NFL.
Well, and here's the other thing. You're 1-2. Like, and I get, like, I will say, where I sympathize with these guys again, or empathize with them, the vitriol is very high from fans and from some media at 1-2. So I really can't, like, this, it does seem inordinate, the amount of frustration from fans. It's not, I mean, that's kind of the situation fans and players have been put in, because this pressure's been building since 2021 with how things went down with Baker.
Right.
So it's not even just about Deshaun. It is big picture. It does involve the organization. Same time. And I actually thought, I kind of thought Amari's comments were a little funny, but it's a no-win situation. Because there's now been, every single day, there's been some piece of sound that sounds like, well, we're not the problem. You guys are the problem. That to me is more alarming than, one, I just, personally, guys, you don't win by going after fans. That's just common sense. I know it sucks. I'm not trying to sell. You don't have to like it. You don't have to eat bleep and like it. But you don't have to say, hey, this bleep that I'm eating, I don't like it. You guys should eat bleep. It just doesn't work. You win nothing by going after the fans. At the same point, the concerning thing is, good God, this is a lot of nonsense for two losses. This is a lot of finickiness, and this is a lot of, don't you know what we've accomplished for 1-2? Like, that's where it does annoy me, is you haven't played well enough, and you haven't done enough in this town. I know last year was fun. Loved last year. Overall, you're not a good enough organization, and you haven't succeeded enough as a locker room to put this kind of pushback up 3 weeks into the season. You just haven't.
Well, in the locker room, if you look at and listen to the players right now, it's starting to divide in some sense. 1-2, 2-1's a big difference if they win the games that they're supposed to. The scary part about this right now is, because they're focusing so much on this, it's really, really hard to play at your highest level and to play at your best every Sunday.
It does. And, you know, it's funny. It makes me wonder, are they more distracted?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Then they're letting on, which makes you wonder, have they been distracted this whole time? Because if you're distracted now, again, it's three games. If I'm a football, listen, I'm not a football player. I can barely walk. I always take more of a global perspective of, well, you got time, right? You got time till you don't have time. 3 weeks into the season, what are we doing? Real Savior P also saying they aren't attacking the fans, they're attacking the media. Well, I believe Deshaun said the fans aren't the ones in the room. So, sloppy wording. And by the way, the fans are the media. This isn't a one-sided thing. It's not three sides here. The fans, the media is an extension of the fans. So that's, in a way, and by the way, even if you don't think it's an extension of the fans, the media is a conduit to help express your message. And your message is, well, we don't like getting asked these questions. Cool, play better football. That's as simple as that. Hey, you don't want to get harangued about a 4th-and-1 RPO, which, by the way, again, guys, it was one play. I think the said Tillman drop was a bigger drop, but that's fine. You want to make it about the 4th-and-1 call? Fine. Same point. Play better. Like, this is not a young team. This is a highly paid team. Like, the reality in this town is, if you make a lot of money, because a lot of people out there don't make a lot of money. A lot of people out there are scratching by day to day. So when people in this town see you make a lot of money, and then you come out and cry about stuff, it's just a no-win situation. Let's go to Jim. Jim, welcome to the show. Jim?
Yeah, listen, I'd like to go back in time a little bit.
Do you have a DeLorean?
Back to March and April, when the word was or going around that the Browns this year were going to be a bowl contender. Then we get into the draft, okay? And we have a second-round pick, and we go and get Michael Hall Jr., which I don't really care. I like Michael Hall. But didn't we have, like, the number one or number two defense? Was defense the number one priority that we had to take care of? I mean, we had DeJuan Jones, we had Jed Wills, and we had Jack Conklin, all on the IR or in trouble, recuperating. And what did we get? We got Zach Zintner with the second pick, and he's a guard. What happened to the tackles? Now we don't have any tackles. We put Joe Petonio at tackle, who's a guard, and everybody got to agree, or I hope everybody agrees, that part of the problem with Deshaun Watson is he's not getting a lot of protection back there. And I'm not crazy about Deshaun Watson, but I realize that he's got to have time to find somebody that he can throw to. I mean, you made some comments about the administration of the Browns, and I think you may be 100% right. I want to know who's making these decisions.
Jim, we appreciate you. I'll be honest with you. I thought the Michael Hall Jr. thing made total sense because you didn't have another starting defensive tackle. You've been piecemealing that with part-time players. I don't think anybody saw it going the way where Michael had the legal issue. He's still on the commissioner's exempt list. I think we might feel different about that. And here's the other thing. You have three starting tackles on the roster. You have Conklin. You have Wills. You have DeJuan. Two of the guys weren't ready for the season. Now, where I do think the bigger question is, what the hell are we doing with roster management that we've had to cut good players to keep two guys who weren't ready to play, truly ready to play, by week four? I mean, even if Conklin and Wills play this weekend, it is week four. So you've wasted three games of roster spots for one game of playing. At the same point, though, like I just keep coming back to, it doesn't have to be this hard. And it feels like a case where for the first time in a long time, the Browns are majoring in the minor again for the first time since probably 2022.
Well, and I think, you know, when we look at this from the outside, it's if you're not on the same page, if your front office is not on the same page with your coaching staff, if your coaching staff isn't on the same page as your players, this is what we're seeing right now. A team in disarray 3 weeks into the season, and we're all talking about why this is happening. We're talking about, yes, one play, but it's more than just one play. It's 3 weeks into the season where they haven't gotten on the same page. Yes, there's a MASH factory unit on the offensive line. Defensively, they haven't stepped up to what we expect. And when you go on the road, road games, we all know, we watch the NFL enough, they're very, very hard to win.
216-474-0092. Is this a lot of noise for 1-2, or do you think that damn media and fans are too hard on the players?